It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Al Horford, 2 for 2 and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
You know, we're not as good as advertised right now. And so at least we know that. At least we know that when we can.
All right. Welcome to the first Sports Hub Celtics Show of the 2019-2020 season. Jim Murray without Chris Gasper for the tip-off. He will return next week. I think we need to update that intro between now and then as well. But that clip to begin today's show, head coach Brad Stevens. And if you didn't hear that there, with the foreboding message, we're not as good as advertised, which I will remind you, that was said by Brad Stevens on October 2nd, 2018, after a 102-95 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Little more than a year ago. A little more than a year ago, October 2nd, 2018, Brad Stevens knew what was coming, and we all ignored it, and we should have known. We should have paid better attention the night that he said it. Gasper and I should have paid better attention and talked about it more at length than when we had tipped off the Sports Hub Celtics show by then, but we didn't. And, you know, thinking back and looking at last year, like, we definitely ignored it because we were either focused on that terrible first month by the Patriots, or, and this is, I think, more likely, as it pertains to the Celtics, like, we were just way into the local and national hype surrounding this team. I know Chris and I were. I know I was. Because this was a team that was supposed to contend for, if not win, the NBA championship after going from 6 minutes away from the NBA finals the year before without two of their most talented players in Kyrie and Gordon Hayward to just another overrated, overhyped paper tiger like the 2011 Red Sox, this year's Cleveland Browns. Just the worst kind of teams. Ugh. Oh, I hate those kind of teams. Like, best team ever. Like, 2011 Eagles come to mind, too. I hate those kind of teams. So what I wanted to do before we do move forward to what I sincerely believe is going to be an entertaining season for the Boston Celtics, I really feel that it's necessary from a therapeutic sense to go back, work our way through what went wrong with this team last year. Because if you're like me, you're still not really over the sting of that underwhelming performance by the team, specifically like feeling ripped off, duped by Kyrie the con man. Because that's, make no mistake, that's exactly what Kyrie Irving was here. Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtic, in those few years, was nothing more than a hustler. That's all he was, just looking out for number 11. That's all he was. Entertaining a little bit, but more than anything else, we got duped by a con man. And it wasn't all his fault, obviously. The thing went to hell in a handbasket quickly. Gordon Hayward was a complete mental case, never really got comfortable with his recovery from injury and his role with the team. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they get big heads. They think they're world beaters after one measly playoff run that ultimately ended in failure. Even Al Horford, who's the consummate professional if there ever was one, gimpy knee, seemed miserable to have to deal with this collection of petty, bitchy a-holes he was surrounded by, like Terry Rozier, who always thought he was something more than he actually was. And then, in terms of coaching and the brass, you got Brad Stevens, who was, I think, overwhelmed by the big egos and personalities he had to deal with. And then the president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge, who really helped exacerbate the eventual demise of the whole thing last year by essentially sticking his head in the sand when he saw it all going sideways by the time the trade deadline came around. And he didn't do a damn thing while the house burned down. Like, that happened. It was a complete and utter disaster, not just on the floor, but from top to bottom. And because I wanted to do this because I was like, well, how am I going to fill an hour on the Celtics when they've only played four preseason games and they look okay? But, like, I wanted to go back and look at it because it's funny to see how that analogy works. Like, the house burning down at every level last year, from the brass to the players to the coach to the media to the fans, from the preseason to the end of that five-game gentleman sweep by the Bucks, everyone sat there like the dog in the "this is fine" meme. The flames just kept rising time and again. Oh, this is fine. No. The signs were there. That's why I played that clip. The signs were there. We're not as good as advertised. Steven said that. October 2nd, early. And then just turned to the games. Little after Thanksgiving. Call it the quarter pole of the season. Basically a little less than a month and a half in. They were a game over 500. 11-10. They were behind Toronto. They were behind Milwaukee. They were behind Philly, Indiana, and Detroit. The Pistons stink. They were behind Detroit. And again, we're figure it out. Oh, talk to me around Christmas. I'm usually that guy, especially with NBA matters. Talk to me around Christmas. That's when the NBA season really starts. They're too talented. Don't hate on them. Felgren, Maz, blah. Don't hate on them. No, they're good. We all should have been paying better attention and listening to the one truth teller in the whole damn operation, and that was the coach. Again, he said that on October 2nd, because despite his role in the thing and his failure to wrangle the personalities in the locker room and getting them to actually, you know, play for each other, he straight up told us night after night, we got real problems, and nobody wanted to listen. Like, no one really, not too talented, they'll figure it out. And here's further proof, because I wanted to do this exercise just to kind of torture myself, because I want to get through this. We need to get through this together. Going back and listening to some of the press conferences early, like when it's like, ooh, well, this seems weird, this little swoon here before Thanksgiving. The post-game press conference after the loss to the Knicks at home on the night before Thanksgiving, otherwise known as the Trey Burke game, really pay attention to this clip. Now knowing what we know and what we ignored, listen to how blatantly obvious Brad Stevens is about what a mess he was surrounded by.
You know, it's not one guy, it's not two guys, it's all of us. I think we're not playing with the same personality we played with last year. That's the easiest way to describe it. And then the 50,000 issues that are below that, we have to tackle one at a time.
Brad, seems like every game becomes kind of a wake-up call. You know, the Utah game.
I just don't know that we're that good, Gary. Yeah. Like, maybe it's not a wake-up call if you keep getting beat. You know, like, we have to play better. And it's not because we're not capable of being good. It's not because we weren't good at one time in our lives. It's, you're good if you play good. And, I mean, the results are speaking for themselves.
50,000 issues. We're not that good. It's like hearing that now, a year plus later, like, it's light dawns on Marblehead, right? Like, duh. There are real problems here. But I get it again. We figured they were just too talented. The NBA is a league predicated on talent trumping trouble. It'll work itself out. But again, I think there's more to it when it came to why. I really believe this is why I'm looking at this as a therapy session. I think there's more to it when it comes to why we just kept ignoring the signs and hoping last year's Celtics team would figure it out. It's time to admit that, like, all that ignoring, buying into last year's Celtics, it was more about not wanting to admit we felt ashamed for doing so as that year went along. That's right, ashamed. By the time, like, you knew it was bad, but nah, it's like, just keep ignoring, ashamed. It's maybe the most powerful and worst of the emotions to feel. Ashamed and embarrassed that we got duped. Specifically, again, duped by the con man that was Kyrie Irving when all the warning signs were there as early as before the season tipped off in October. Starting with that contrived, stupid season ticket holder event before the season started when Kyrie, he got up there and he laid it on thick.
I shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
Yeah.
Oh!
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Scal nearly falls over in his chair. The place goes wild. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here. A dangling carrot. That's all that was. We all fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, like a bunch of idiots. Despite knowing his wishy-washy, mercurial behavior. Not Gasper, though. I wish he was here for this, because not Chris Gasper.
is the reason he writes the way he does. He's the smart one. He tried telling me. He tried telling you. He tried telling Felger and Maz and anyone else that would listen. You can't take this guy at his word. Essentially saying Kyrie is a con man. But nope. No, Kyrie wants us. He wouldn't do that. And we want him. We want Banner 18. He wouldn't lie to us. And I swear, going back to this, watching that Dog and Pony show this morning and getting that clip, it reminded me of The Simpsons when Lyle Landley, old reference, but I'm going to do it anyway, when Lyle Landley slithers into Springfield and he suckers those rubes into thinking they need a monorail. That was us. We fell for Kyrie the con man. He went into the garden that night, a little more than a year ago today, and he gave us the same type of spiel as monorail guy. That's what he did. It's as if he grabbed the microphone rather than saying, if you have me back, I plan on resigning here. It's like he grabbed it and said, I've won games for Montclair, Duke, and Cleveland, and by gum, I put them on the map. Well, fans, there's nothing in Boston like a genuine, bona fide, electrified, ring-winning point guard. Who's here in the parquet? Kyrie Irving. Who do you want to see ball? Kyrie Irving. That's right. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I heard you kind of act like a bitch.
Check out my handle. It's like a glitch.
Is there a chance that you could leave?
Not on your life, you best believe.
You sure you're not a locker room cancer?
No, I'm just hitter when you're 18th banner.
Will you make sure you listen to Brad?
I'll treat him like he's my nerdy dad.
Yeah, is your knee going to be a recurring thing?
I'm just here to help you win some rings. Come on, green teamers, let's hear you sing.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
I heard him and Durant want to go to New York.
Too late, Jay Stu. They're already porked.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie.
Now, credit to Jimmy Stewart, the producer of Felger and Maz. He knew, too. He saw the signs. That fraud. We all got duped. We expected the best, and then he moped, he bitched, he quit, lied. And the team, like Springfield in that old episode of The Simpsons, left decimated. So we need to rid ourselves, at least I need to rid myself, of the shame of like defending him, thinking it was all going to get turned around. And we need to rid ourselves of the quick, horrid Kyrie era here in Boston. It is time to move on and get ready for the fun, max effort Celtics, because that's what I believe that they will be. Will they win a title? Probably not, but they will. I've said this for a while now. The Celtics this coming year, they'll give you your money's worth on a random Wednesday in January, and that's all I'm looking for. And we're going to get a preview of this year's team next with Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal, Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays, The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy, voice of the New England Patriots.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Long cross court. Grant Williams is open. He's going to put it to the floor and find Carson Edwards for another three. His ninth of the game, his eighth of the quarter, and the Celtics lead by 22.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. I mean, those were deep, hard threes, and that was how many, eight in like 5 minutes?
506.
In 506. I've never seen anything like that.
First Sports Hub Celtics show of the year here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Gasper, not in today, so you got me, Jim Murray. So that was Celtics guard Carson Edwards, who went off in the final preseason game of the year, the win over the Cavaliers. Celtics finished the preseason with a perfect 4-0 record, but Edwards made eight threes in a row in a short span, something that obviously left head coach Brad Stevens a bit speechless when it was over. It was pretty awesome, even if you just happened to see in the highlights. You know, and Grandy and Max are doing the call here on the Sports Hub. Cedric Maxwell was like falling out of his chair. It was nuts. It was great. It was fun to watch. And that's why I want to welcome in Brian Robb, covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com, some of the best Celtics coverage in the area. B-Rob, this kid, Edwards, two-pronged question. Is he going to be a factor on this year's team? And if he is, could he end up being one of the biggest steals of this year's draft?
I'm going to go with yes and yes, Jim. I mean, coming in, they were definitely high on him at the, you know, grabbing him at the beginning of the second round there. But if you just look at, you know, you can't tell too much from the preseason, obviously, but he played in the first half of all these games. He was one of the first guys off the bench. And that's kind of a tell for me saying, okay, Brad Stevens trusts this guy right away, and he can bring something off the bench that no one else can really bring, and that's consistent 3-point shooting. Because you look around, I mean, Marcus Smart's coming off the bench, but out of everyone else, like Ojale, Wanamaker, like there's not a lot of guys you can trust there to kind of get their own shot. He can do that, and right away, I mean, I don't care. It's preseason, but hitting nine threes in like 5 minutes is impressive if you do it on like playing pickup, much less in an NBA game. So I think he's going to play right away, and out of all the rookies, that's probably going to get consistent minutes right now. I put him probably number one on the list.
So I think he will help contribute to the fun that I think you're going to get with this team this year. Is it a fair assessment, or am I being unfair in that I look at this 2019-2020 Celtics team and I think, okay, you know, like I said, they'll give you your bang for a buck and a random Wednesday in the middle of January. They'll be fun. The ceiling might not be that high, but you'll get max effort like you did during like the IT Bridges era.
No, I think you nailed it. And you've been on this for a while. You were on this last year, Jim, too, to your credit. And again, guys like Edwards, all these young guys coming in, guys are fitting into like roles right now that they're not going to like. Edwards knows what he's doing. He's taking threes. Like, you know, Tice and Cantor, they're going to set screens and try to do some dirty work down low. And you're not going to, the guys that are supposed to get the shots are going to get the shots. And then the way to get on the floor for this team is you're going to have to play for the max effort you're talking about. You're going to have to play defense. You're going to have to pretty much play to your max ability, or otherwise Brad Stevens is going to turn to four or five other guys on the bench on any given night and throw them in the game. And this is something I think Stevens got away from last year. Like, everyone was getting minutes no matter what, Jim, I feel like. Even Rozier, like Morris when he went to slumps. Like, Kyrie obviously wasn't really held accountable when he stopped trying and stuff. But Stevens, I think, is at his best when he does mixing and matching, and this is a kind of roster that should be conducive to that.
I feel like Stevens will be able to have more control over this roster now that Kyrie and some of the pain in the asses are gone, but there still has to be a level of leadership on the floor, considering how young some of these guys are. Even Marcus Smart, who is like looked at as like, you know, a grizzled vet on this team, who's going to be the leader of this year's team?
I think it's Smart.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest, I think.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point it is. He's like on the borderline, but last year he played well enough last year where he kind of, I think, has started to earn that respect. He was the one guy I think who overachieved last year, wouldn't you think, in terms of what was expected of him. So if you just look at that,
I just worry about bombs away with him.
I mean, you're right. And that is always something to monitor. Just like, is he taking the right shots? Is he like getting out of the game? There are going to be games where that happens, but I think he knows now. And even something I'm like writing about at BSJ is the relationship of him and like Jaylen Brown, for instance. Like, those guys used to like butt heads a lot on the floor. And then last year, like, Jaylen was telling me like he was confiding in Smart when, you know, he got benched and things like that. So it's clear now to me that he's getting the respect of everyone on the roster, I feel like. And so, like you said, as long as he stays in his lane and does, you know, doesn't try to overreach, then I think he's kind of the guy who's going to come in and demand accountability, because, you know, Hayward's soft-spoken, Kemba's just trying to get his feet wet. I feel like he'll be good in that role, but I think Smart will kind of embrace it.
It's Brian Robb. That's the other voice you hear here. Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, does some of the best Celtics coverage in the area. Go to bostonsportsjournal.com. Sign up. B. Robb needs that money. What is your expectation for Kemba Walker? And do you have any concerns considering how the four Celtics that played in the FIBA World Cup didn't really show all that well in the, U.S. finished seventh, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you have any concerns there?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't ideal. Like, Tatum got hurt, so it wasn't fully on them. And I do think that, you know, no one, like, Kemba stunk in that game against France that they lost that knocked them out of the medal round. But by and large, those were the more respectable guys on the team. A lot of other guys underachieved on that team, too, I feel like. But yeah, I think that coming in, it's just going to, Kemba's going to get his feet wet. I think he's embracing the fact he's not going to have to score 25 points a night now, Jim. And he hasn't been able to do that for like 4 or 5 years in Charlotte. Like, the four best teammates of his career might all be on this team, which is kind of crazy when you just look at the garbage he was playing with down there. So,
Al Jefferson, maybe his best player,
yeah,
best teammate.
Like, Al Jefferson, like Batum, like 3 years ago was like, okay. But he has just nothing around him in terms of scoring options. And now, you know, he can play on the ball, he can play off the ball. And, I mean, Brad Stevens, I feel like after dealing with Kyrie now, just having a guy like Kemba come in who's just going to work hard, put his head down, and like, yeah, tell me what you want, coach. I want to try to give it to you. He might not be as good as Kyrie, but I think around the organization, that just seems like a breath of fresh air right now.
Oh, I would imagine. Oh, yeah, no, they're getting that stink, the vampire. that con man out of the building. They're going to be so thrilled. And that's what I think most fans are, too. Like, you're looking at this as like a, oh, it's a new beginning. It's crazy that we got here. But, hey, it is what it is. And I think people now are ready to rid themselves of the shame of trying to support Kyrie Irving. What's their glaring weakness? Is it a lack of bigs? Is that, are they going to struggle on defense?
Yeah, I mean, the center is a huge question mark. Tice, I think, is going to get the most starts right now because he just knows the system. And that's, you know, Brad Stevens trusts him. But I think it's going to change game to game because, you know, Tice versus Embiid on night one, like, Tice could foul out in 10 minutes
sure.
in that matchup. So, like, so Stevens is going to have to get creative. Like, I don't know, like, do you, what's the appeal to you of, like, going to super small and be like, okay, we're gonna play Tatum at the five and Jaylen Brown at the four and just throw Smart out there and just go super small and just mix things up? Is that a kind of lineup you would want to see just to, if all these, you know, centers just don't work out there? Do you like to see him roll dice in a situation like this?
All right, so what's your full expectation for the season? There has been a heated debate on Felger and Maz this week about the definition of compete. Mike has them, you know, he thinks that they legitimately can go to the finals. Win it? Probably not, but he thinks they, you know, they could come out of the East. I still think it's Milwaukee. I know that they lost Brogdon, but, you know, you still have the reigning MVP and Giannis. They, to me, are still the team to beat, and I think the 76ers are above them. But what's your expectations for the 19-20 Celtics?
Yeah, third seed, I think, is a safe call. They're a trade away from being able to contend, I think, with the Bucks and the Sixers to get to the finals. Both those teams, the Sixers are, like, huge, but they still have questions on the offensive end. The Bucks lost Brogdon. That could hurt. Eric Bledsoe is, like, you know, poops all over himself every postseason, so you never know what you're going to get there. But, yeah, like, if everything comes together now for this team, then they can challenge those teams, and they do have the trade assets. They still have the Memphis pick. You have a bunch of guys at movable salary at the bottom of the roster that you could, you know, if you want to roll a dice here and see which way you're going, because the paths here, Jim, like, you have Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward and these young guys. So, like, what way, I'm curious, what direction is Danny Ainge going here? Is he going to push for it more now with, like, the older crew, or do you, you know, if Hayward doesn't have it, do you consider moving him, you know, midseason and just trend more towards, you know, Kemba and the young guys?
I think that wife of his would be into that. Lord knows, I don't think she really likes it here all that much. Based on some of the stuff I've heard from Jimmy Stewart and his sources, she'd rather go to a much warmer climate, like Miami. So that's something interesting to watch. And also the Jaylen Brown contract negotiations. I want to get to that coming up next, and I want to pick your brain on that as well. It's Brian Rubb, B-Rubb, of Boston Sports Journal. He's also helping to produce the show today. So we'll get to that. The Jaylen Brown contract negotiations, and if there's anything Celtics-related you want to discuss, have at it at 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls there. We'll get to all that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Mike O'Brien.
Sports Hub. The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I feel like the negotiations are going well. I think that, you know, whoever put out that report was not accurate. We are working to try to come to some resolve by Monday as our deadline, and negotiations have gone well. Jaylen doesn't seem to be too stressed about it. He seems to be good and playing well and in good spirits and working hard. It's hard not to think about it at all. I think every player would, but I think that we're in a good place, and we'll see what happens over these next few days.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Gasper out today as we tip off the first show of the year heading into the 19-20 season. The new, fun, max effort Celtics. That was President of Basketball Ops, Danny Ainge, joining Toucher and Rich earlier this week here on the Sports Hub, and talking about Jaylen Brown and what's going on with his contract negotiations, because there was word earlier in the week that Brown recently found new representation, got a new agent. He is now repped by Al Horford's agent, so Horford now a 76er, and he reportedly turned down a 4-year, $80 million deal from the Celtics, and they have until Monday. There's this Monday deadline looming over the team, and other NBA teams reportedly monitoring these talks between the Celtics and Brown with a possible offer sheet in the summer of 2020. And this is from the Athletic Sham Sharania, who wrote, as far as the Celtics forward Jaylen Brown and his extension talks are going, there's one thing to keep in mind. Several teams monitoring how these discussions go, whether they can make Boston and GM Danny Ainge pay with an offer sheet next summer, according to sources. So a little bit ominous there. I don't know, like, I don't blame him for not taking that money. Look, I will say this. If I was Jaylen Brown, I am a man who goes through life just worried about being fired at any moment. Radio business, very volatile. So if I'm going to put myself in Jaylen Brown's shoes, obviously a different business, I would always think of poor Nerlens Noel, who stupidly rebuffed the Dallas Mavericks a few years ago at 4 years, $70 million. You know what his last deal was? A league minimum with OKC. Ah, what's he left on the table? Like $66 million at that point? You idiot. Oh, my God. So I would be worried. I would probably take that money because I'm a sucker like that. Very bad at negotiations. Jaylen Brown, though, I can't blame him. Certainly, obviously, more talented than Nerlens Noel, especially offensively. And if I look at someone like Terry Rozier, my former bitchy teammate who just got 3 years at 19.5 per from the Hornets, those idiots, I'm like, I'm better than him. So take your 4 years and $80 million and screw and come back with a bigger number for me because I'm a better player than him. So I don't blame him, right thing, but feels like this thing, I don't know, again, we'll bring in Brian Robb, covers the Celtics, Boston Sports Journal. Like, where's this thing going? Could he be, at the very least, could this make him a trade candidate this year, Jaylen Brown?
No question. If there's no deal here, I wouldn't like say it's probable, but there's certainly the chances go up if they don't reach an extension right now. If he does reach an extension, becomes he won't be traded this year. It pretty much becomes very tough to trade him, period. But yeah, like from Jaylen's perspective, just with how things went down last year, Jim, like Rozier couldn't have had much of a worse season last year, and he still got $20 million, $19 million a year. So if you're Jaylen Brown and you just saw Jamal Murray get a max too from Denver and Ben Simmons, who you know, you might think that, hey, I can do that if I get the kind of opportunities those guys had, then yeah, you're clearly gonna hold out, maybe not for the full max, but something pretty close to it at this point, I would think.
Is there any shot that this gets figured out over the weekend? By this deadline on Monday.
Yeah, I'd put it at like a 10-20% chance. There's always a shot. The Celtics, from their standpoint, they're not gonna have cap room next year anyway. So it's not a huge deal for them. If they think they can get Jaylen at a number that is a little bit of a discount, they'll do it because it's not like they're going to be able to sign anyone else anywhere next year. But at the same time, just their history, they haven't signed anyone to an extension, a rookie extension, since Rondo in 2009. So we're looking at 10 years coming up to this year. So they have a philosophy on this clearly is we have a number, we're going to stick to it, and we're going to bet that we're not going to be burned when you hit the open market. That has been true for the most part for the last 10 years, and I expect that to be the case here, too.
I know what else I wanted to ask you about is this team will be the fun max effort Celtics this year. Taco Fall, is he a gimmick, or is he actually going to end up seeing minutes on this team at some point?
Not on the big, like, I don't think he'll play for the Celtics more than, like, you know, garbage time. Like, maybe in certain matchups, maybe you call him up to face Embiid or just some other huge, you know, Boban games like that where you could throw him in there for a couple minutes in the stretch, but he needs a lot of work. And just to be able to like sustain NBA minutes, he'll get it in Maine. It's a fun project. They're an experiment with him down there with like zone defenses and different looks. And it's fun now. I think NBC Sports Boston announced they're going to broadcast all the home Red Clock games this year.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you tweet about this. And it just, there was something else to help me out here. There was like a rating spike when he came into the game in one of the recent preseason games, right?
Yes, I think the first preseason game, it was like a huge spike in the fourth quarter when he came into the game at the Garden. So, I mean, that's, again, when you're dealing with two-way guys, like, I feel like this is like a tiebreaker thing. Like, yeah, you factor in the size with just the buzz. Like, there'll be no player in NBA history, Jim, that has the amount of buzz that Taco Fall does that is playing on a two-way contract.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're looking at like, Taco or, like, Max Strus, like, yeah. Go with Taco.
And the place goes nuts. I mean, even some of the clips that I've seen, there's you know, a legitimate pop when he comes into the game. And obviously, I think a lot of it has to do with the name. It's interesting. And he's just, you know, he's a giant human being. You got people dressing up as tacos for some of these games. Like, I don't know. I get it. Again, they'll be the fun max effort Celtics. But I don't know. I wonder if part of it's just like people are looking at him as a gimmick. Kind of like how, I mean, I'm old enough to remember, I think you're too young, but like Manute Bol kind of felt that way when he came into the league.
He held his, like, the good news is he did hold, like, he, whether it's Summer League or these games, he can do things. Like, he can finish. Like, he doesn't look totally out of a place on an NBA court. So, he hasn't only played the game for a few years now. You get him for a year or two in Maine. You really work with him there. And then you find out what you have. And I think, you know, based on what you can usually get out of those kind of guys, like, why not when you have a 7'6" guy?
All right. Again, that's Brian Robb, covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. Follow him at Brian T. Robb on Twitter. I want to go to Dean in Shrewsbury. You're first up here on the first Sports Hub Celtic show of the year. Go ahead, Dean. Hey.
Hey, I love Carson Edwards, but I hope he doesn't sucker Brad into these three-guard lineups. He did Kyrie, Rozier, and Smart in the past, and those lineups always got out-rebounded and destroyed at the defensive end.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I want to, and thanks for the call, Dean. Because of his size, quickly, B-Rob, is there, do you worry about, like, the defensive deficiencies with Edwards?
Sure. I mean, him and Kemba, you got 2 6-foot guys out there together. That's a liability. Edwards works hard on D. Like, he'll do good ball pressure and things like that, but 6 feet is 6 feet, so that's obviously a concern when he's out there.
Steve and Carver on Brad Stevens. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Jim, what's up? Real quick, first thing about this team that I'm excited for is that I don't have to see Marcus Morris shove 25 bad shots down my throat every single night without passing. But the best thing about Skippy McGee, Brad Stevens, is that whenever he has less talent, he wins. I mean, he went to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Hayward and Kyrie on that team. And we saw it even when Kyrie was, you know, remember how he used to sit out against, like, the Cavs? He would refuse to play against them. That was funny.
When
like, Horford would have a night off, the Celtics would overachieve on those nights. And it's just because I think when there's less talent, guys would fall into places, like D-Rob said. So I'm just optimistic about this team because I think Brad Stevens is going to be able to finally, once again, control this team and put guys into places.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, look, I would love to be wrong. I mean, I expect them to at least win a round. If you win a couple, you're better than I expect. Hayward's back mentally. I think it's more mental than physical. And, you know, Brown and Tatum take the jump that we expected last year, and they end up getting to the finals. Great. Like, I don't think they have a very high ceiling. But compared to last year, the slog and underachievement of last year, and again, the shame that we have now rid ourselves, now that we've exercised those demons after the first segment of today's show, we've rid ourselves of the shame of trying to defend Kyrie. Oh, they'll figure it out. Ugh, get the hell out of here. Go to Brooklyn, please leave. Now that we've rid ourselves of that, we can look forward to, at the very least, max effort and a lot of fun with this year's Celtics teams. I'm fired up for it. I am. Again, do I expect them to win the championship? No. Would love to be proven wrong. But I think you will get max effort and fun on a night-in, night-out basis. I'm looking forward to it. You want to weigh in, 617-779-0985. One segment to go, so we'll squeeze in any more calls there. We are only on until 1 today, as the New England Revolution have their playoff match coming up against Atlanta, which you can catch here on the Sports Hub at 1 o'clock. But we'll get to your calls, squeeze in a few more of those. And I do want to touch on a couple of league things, including like the whole China situation, which is, whew, what a mess for the league. And what's going on with Zion Williamson as well. We'll do that next. Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
I talked about it yesterday. I tweeted out a couple of responses to people not understanding, you know, my knowledge of what it came from my brain and for me learning from the situation. I'm talking about it now, and I won't talk about it again because I'll be cheating my teammates by continuing to harp on something that won't benefit us, you know, trying to win a championship, because that's what we're here for. We're not politicians. I think it's a huge political thing. But we are leaders, and we can step up at times. But there's times where, I'm not saying in this particular instance, but, you know, if you don't, feel like you should speak upon things, you shouldn't have to.
All right, I just wanted to touch on this for a minute. We've spent like zero time on it on Telegram, man. It's been very football heavy, and rightfully so, in recent weeks. But this whole thing has blown up. The NBA in China. Ooh, shocker. That communist country that crushes many of its citizens like ants doesn't like it when you speak up about the injustices against human life there. Ooh, shocker. Well, you get into business with a regime like that, you kind of reap what you sow. So I feel like in a lot of ways, like we haven't talked about it as like a show because, like, I don't know, like, what do you expect? Like, it's kind of obvious how this whole thing has played out. But LeBron James this week, oh my God, like you couldn't have come off worse. Here's the guy who's considered the NBA's number one ambassador and essentially like a liaison to China. And he tries to speak on this mess of a situation, which was started with an innocuous tweet by Daryl Morey in regard to the situation in Hong Kong. And it's just really like the way he came off, like his comments, his suggestions, everything LeBron said this week, like he came off so bad. And if nothing else, it just proves he's a disingenuous fraud. He, like Kyrie, shocker that they were teammates and the influence, you see it more by the day, like he's really only looking out for number one. His position's clear as day. As long as his checks are cleared and he gets the money, from the league, his businesses in terms of trying to promote the new Space Jam, sneaker money, all that sweet, sweet Chinese money rolls in from the communist regime. He couldn't give a rat's ass about how people in that country are treated. He really couldn't. And the league doesn't either. Like, they don't. And it's, I don't know, like, this whole situation, like, what a mess. If nothing else, maybe it just speaks to what Felger always says. Like, stay off Twitter. Like, my God. So it does feel like that's going to be something that hovers over the league, at least for the first part of the season. And the other thing, too, which feels ominous in terms of, you know, on-the-court stuff. News yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN. Zion Williamson, the rookie phenom drafted first overall by the Pelicans. That whole thing seems shady in the first place. But Zion Williamson expected to miss a couple of weeks to start the season due to a knee injury. The quote was, there's no shortage of confidence from the team. He's going to be fully recovered after missing a few weeks. I don't know. How the Patrick Mahomes thing, and if he's rushed back, immediately reminds me and many sports fans of what happened with RG3 and the Washington Redskins and how they handled that. Doesn't this immediately make you think of Greg Oden? Like, this, it feels like already, because based on his size, like the size of Zion Williamson alone, like, it just feels like his knees are going to be a ticking time bomb throughout this season, and that would suck. Because I do think that the kid is legit. He was worth being drafted that high. Like, he will be one of the next, you know, great superstars in the NBA. But you're already dealing with a knee issue before you play even one real game. Not great. Christian in Foxborough on the Celtics. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Murray? So just a quick question. Who do you think has more pressure this year? Is it Tatum or Stevens? I mean, I think it's Stevens, which leads me to ask, do you think if you know, he underperforms this year that he could possibly be on the hot seat? Thanks, Murray.
Thanks, Christian. No. You almost got to give him – look, he wasn't able to handle all those big personalities and everything last year, and he played into it. But as I went through the first segment, if you missed it, it's going to be podcast, 98.5sportsup.com. Like, at least Stevens was telling the truth from the preseason on. Like, he was the truth teller throughout. He saw what the problems were. We just ignored it and didn't want to listen. But I almost feel like you got to give him a mulligan there. Like, he's – grand scheme of things, like, Stevens is overachieved. So, I don't know. They get off to a bad start. They're hovering around 500 around Thanksgiving. Like, well, bitch. Rightfully so. But hot seat, no. Al in the car. You'll be the last call here on the first Sports Hub Celtic show of the year. Hey, Al.
Hey, Jim. Quick question here. You know, I'm a real fan of the rookies that the Celtics picked up. You know, Langford, Williams, Tremont Waters, and Edwards. Where do you guys think these guys are going to fit in the lineup?
Thanks for the call, Al. I'll quickly defer to B-Rob, Brian Robb, who covers the team for Boston Sports Journal. Like, who's going to end up getting the most minutes? We talked in an earlier segment about Carson Edwards. You do think he's going to factor in. Will he be the rookie that ends up playing the most?
Yeah, I think it'll be him, and I think Grant Williams is going to get a lot of minutes, too, at the backup for Waters is going to, I think, spend more time in Maine, but he showed a lot. He's got a lot of peer skills, and with some grooming, if he outplays Brad Wanamaker, maybe he'll play himself into the mix, too.
Quickly, before we wrap, give me like 30 seconds on Robert Williams. I know he was working out harder. It felt like there was going to be more on his plate this year, but already dealing with injuries. What kind of season do you expect out of him?
Yeah, he's going to get a chance. They're really high on him. It looked pretty ugly in the first preseason game. Just he's got a long way to go in terms of positioning and defensive awareness, I feel like. But the upside is still there. They believe in him. So they're going to give him a shot, and we're going to find out because – you know, he's the youngest guy in this team, and they're going to need him to develop, obviously.
All right. If you missed any of the show, the first Sports Hub Celtics show of the year, and my redo of the monorail song from The Simpsons, check it, 98.5thesportshub.com. Show will be podcast there. It's going to do it for me and for Mike O'Brien as well, and for B-Rob producing today's show. Coming up next, it is the New England Revolution taking on Atlanta. The first round of the MLS playoffs. Hashtag raise your colors. Go Revs. Enjoy your weekend. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win.
FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.